So I would like to see the motion changed. I would like to see it say electronic voting and traditional ballot box voting, as you could do both. And that gives the voter the option to come to the polling station and show their ID and vote independently and place their vote in the ballot box. They do not need or feel that they have to ask for help in voting, and some individuals are not comfortable voting or knowing how to use compute on voting, on how to use computers, as hard as it is to believe that there are people in the Keller who would prefer to come out and vote by ballot. While campaigning over the years, many people expressed that they would not be voting if it wasn't by ballot. It is done federally and provincially. It is the most secure way to vote. In the past, electronic voting has had some downfalls. Rogers communications were down, storms caused outages. If you wanted to go back after moving ahead on your selection, you could not, and your vote was lost. It is not the most secure way to vote. Yes, maybe it definitely is more convenient for a lot of voters, but is it our goal not to do the best we can to accommodate all voters? And if the ballot box method is a secure method and has been a proven method used in past elections, that option should also be made available to all electors. It is not always about the cost, the time, and convenience. I would like to see the motion change to include traditional in-person ballot box.
Okay, I'm currently on the spot here, but what's involved for that as far as staff goes, the change? I did mention that Whitestone used to have the mail-in vote, which we used after the ballot box, and then we went to the internet voting, the televote. Whitestone this year is recommending that they drop the mail-in ballot as well. Their administration is suggesting that it be internet and telephone, even though telephone, I looked up, they had said less than 6%, I think, of the people who use that. So they're also getting rid of the mail-in voting as opposed, and they haven't had a ballot for quite a while. So I guess I'll turn it back to Carly. And what the group has said, I guess this is your meeting with people in the area, different CAOs.
Yeah, with the ballot box, there is a larger additional cost. One is the physical ballots, the blinds, setting it up at the community center, and then staffing is also a huge thing. We would need to hire temporary staff to collect the ballots, count them, and process them that evening. Hiring staff also includes training. We have to do the training as per an employer for Ontario, and also then providing them with elections training. I was a staff member for the municipal election in 2018 in Magnetawan and was a part of that group, so I'm aware of those processes. I wasn't made aware of the cost, so we would have to look into that. Speaking to internet voting, we are open in the municipal office during office hours 10 days prior to the election for people to come in and vote. If they need assistance, either myself or Mary will be in here, and we did that with the 2022 election as well. We did have a number of people, those who were familiar with computers and those who weren't familiar with computers, coming in to do voting, because sometimes people just wanted to come and actually vote at a place and not on their phone. And we are more than willing to help people who need assistance, whether that be with an accessibility issue or otherwise.
So in a sense, that would be like a ballot box when they come in and ask for the extra help. Are you prepared to take very many people that way, or what was the, how many in the past?
I can't remember how many last year did it, but we had quite the flow kind of after working hours on election day. We had the council chambers open, myself, Mary, and the returning officer were here and helping facilitate that. I don't remember it being overly busy, but there were quite a few coming in after work.
Councillor Kekkonen first.
Sorry.
So we were required to pass this resolution this needs to be passed now, but in addition to that, can you have traditional voting methods?
I would have to speak to IntelliVote. I don't believe so. I think that they have to go hand in hand so that electors don't have two ways to vote. They can't come in and have a paper ballot and are also offered the internet voting. Just, I'm not sure the process because we haven't done ballots for a number of years, so I'd have to just refresh myself on that.
It would be difficult for IntelliVote to coordinate who's voted here in person as opposed to who's online. I'm not sure they want that responsibility either.
How did they do it with the telephone voting and IntelliVote?
Good question. I have to ask Whitestone.
I know.
Yes, okay.
I know, so I know some townships have had all of them.
Yeah.
They've had electronic, mail-in, in-person. They've had them all the options there. I know for a fact that a lot of people came in thinking that they were going to do a ballot, and then they were told that there was no ballot, but you would show them on the computer. A lot of people feel, I don't know what the word is, but to have to be shown how to do something as important as that, to them, they feel like I can go in, check my name off, they give me a ballot, I go mark my thing, I do it all on my own. I don't have to. If I make a mistake on that ballot, which if I make a mistake on the electronic, I just go back and I get another ballot and they give it to me and I can correct my, you know, they throw out the old one and I'll do a new one. Whereas on the computer, you can't go back. And also, what happens on the computers with the electronic voting if there needs to be a recount?
I think the situations for a recount are very low because of the internet voting. We have results right away, and we didn't have to do a recount in previous years. So, again, not sure of that process, but it's fairly accurate being internet. Because you don't have human error involved.
Right.
It's all calculated by the computer and not physically calculated by staff and humans.
But they have, as I was reading in here and I've seen when I've gone to vote federally and provincially, they have tabulators now. So the thing is put in and it's done right away. It's like not taking all the stuff, dumping the box out, counting the ballots. You can get a tabulator to do all of that
stuff.
Right,
and again, with costs, I'm not sure what that would be.
But as I said, to me, cost shouldn't really matter, because if you want to have, if the people want that, and it's their right to feel secure and that their vote is counted, they should, and that option is there, they should be given that opportunity.
Councilor Ryan?
The one angle I see, Debbie, is we'd have to find a way to ensure that you couldn't vote both in person on a paper ballot and on the internet, or any other way for that matter. I mean, in other words, so you can't vote more than once.
Right.
And I don't know.
Well, with the mail-in, when they had the mail-in, you had people, and they still probably do it, people picking other people's ballots, mail-in stuff, and voting, and sitting at the table, and the people might not even be there. So that's what I'm saying. The ballot box is the most secure way of voting. Sure, I know it's very convenient for people that do not live here, and they can, that's what I'm saying, do both of them. Do the electronic so that people that aren't here and want to do the electronic, that option is there for them. But for the people that want to vote by ballot, they should be given that opportunity.
I seem to recall with the televote that if your vote is messed up, that they can come into the office and they can actually get, in a sense, another ballot or another chance at it if they argue and prove it, I guess, that the computer didn't work or for some reason. It seemed to me that there was another opportunity to come in and talk to staff. But
there may be, I'd have to investigate further, but they would know who voted for who. So if there was a correction that needed to be made, I'm sure it could be.
Yeah, and this recount thing, I don't think it's just necessarily for errors that are made. It's also if people are within a certain percentage of each other. Sometimes there's an automatic recount if there's one vote difference or how it could do a recount. You know, logistically, it just doesn't make sense because it's all in the computer and it'll just turn out the same numbers, I would think.
It bears investigation with the telephone anyhow. I mean, to ask about how does this work and what would happen if, and then things
right.
like that. Right, and again, and how do we stop somebody voting both ways or whatever number of ways we offer, right? So, and I certainly don't know, but.
Well, I need council's opinion on this, whether this is going or do you want to defer it, and I have time that's important here. But if you want to go another route too and offer alternative methods, I think we're going to need a more detailed report probably of what the cost would be doing other ways or offering other alternative voting. I can't see it going back to ballot box at this point. I think the internet is what we've decided over a decade ago, and I think we have to continue with that certainly, but to offer other ways of voting, it's a consideration. Council wants to go that way, but I think we need more information. As I say, Whitestone until this time had the three methods, but they've decided, I don't know whether it's the new administration or whether it was decided by the old before they left, that they didn't want mail-in voting anymore. For various reasons, I guess they had their reasoning, but they're still leaving the telephone, even though it's not a large percentage that use it. As an option to the internet. Councilor Zua.
I think we have enough time to investigate to doing both options because it says a bylaw must be passed no later than May the 1st, 2026.
I know, I think it's more just the group here and how they're organizing, and you get a group discount, I guess, if everybody goes with the televote. I think that's how I read it.
That's correct.
And they'll want to get organized, certainly, a lot of things. Councilor Hassel, looks like you want to say something.
Well, I think it was, hey, Deb and I were on council together about 25 or 30 years ago, and you were right, Deb, back then. But but times are changing, and I think the system has worked okay the last couple of terms, and I know a fellow who lived in Broadbent, deceased now, but I believe he was 90 years old, and he came to me and says, I want to vote for you, and I said, well, I want to make sure you vote, that's for sure. And he said, but I don't have a computer, I don't know how to do it, and I said, all you have to do is go to the community center, whenever it was, and he went, and I remember him telling him that he went, and they were nice, and he got voting. So I think there's an avenue for people who may not do computer and all that kind of thing. Now, not that I would rule the possibility if there's a demand, you know, there's enough people out there that are saying, no, we want another avenue, whether it be telephone voting or whatever. I'd be open to that, but I think that it's the way we're going, and I think people are adapting, and unfortunately a lot of people like the old traditional way or going another way, you know. So, but anyways, that's my opinion.
Yes, unfortunately, again, the voter turnout isn't greater with the internet. I mean, as you say, anybody can do it great from home. But it's still only, what, 52%, I guess, last time? And I think Whitestone's was in the 30s or 40s. So it's still not getting the great turnout. And I don't know whether that would be one of the goals, to increase voter turnout or just to make it more accessible to people. I know before we went the internet voting, I think one election it was 14% turnout. And that didn't look good. There were so many, they keep talking about certain people disenfranchisement, but that's probably the wrong word because we did argue at the time that, well, it's, as you say, federal, provincial, you have to go to the actual location to vote. Why should it be any different municipally? And to come out, the trouble is the time of year, too. I think you're into November and you're not sure about weather, and people have closed up for the winter and that sort of thing. But yeah, they're valid arguments all which ways, but maybe as Councillor Haskam said, we've had that argument a decade ago. Are we going to reopen it? Or are we just going to continue unless we've seen problems with the televoting?
arguing. I'm saying that do the electronic voting, but also add in the ballot box.
Okay. Well, if we go that route, and we'll need more opinions on it, then there'll have to be a report, I think, for extra labor costs and things like
yeah.
that. Councilor Ryan?
One thing I'd like to ask in televote is if I realize that I've made a mistake, and I don't know what, probably a variety of mistakes during the online voting, is there a way to go, whether it's back, or is there a way to cancel that and get a new one? And again, I don't know because I didn't have that issue, but I'm sure some people do. So
I know people
yeah.
that have had that issue.
Okay.
Where they've read through the thing
mm.
and then went back to vote.
Mm.
But because they had gone past that section, they weren't allowed to go
sure.
back, so they missed out on whatever it was.
Sure.
If it was for mayor or for councilor, they had to continue on. And it was brought up to the staff, and they couldn't do nothing
but
about
again,
it.
But again, it's in Intellivote's best interest to convince us that you know these problems can be resolved, at least maybe not every problem, but simple things anyhow. And I think it's worth asking a question. I mean, is there a way, if I've realized I've made a mistake, can I fix it before I submit it? Or whatever they called it on that thing. And truthfully, I don't have a great recollection of how exactly it worked, that's for sure. So
yeah, I'd be open to having that as a second option. That's how I voted, I think, for a couple of terms ago, was on the telephone kind of thing.
Yeah.
Now people dial telephones are probably out of line. But
what about the guys with the party line?
But it seemed to work well, the telephone voting, and for those who don't have a computer in hand, well, that's, I think, a good, it's an option, so whether we look into that.
So you're suggesting telephone. Councilor Dulac is suggesting ballot box.
Yeah, I would probably vote against ballot box myself. I think that's just going too far back, unless
but
it's proven.
Morley, what if someone's coming to the office to do it on the computer, right?
It's almost the same thing.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they can come to the office, right?
Yeah,
to,
so
to
why couldn't they? Why would you?
Oh, well, because then you're in, dealing with, aren't you, inserting papers in the boxes and I don't know.
So it's convenience.
I think it's just as convenient for a person rather than shoving names into a box or whatever that they sit down with the employee and they're steered through the process.
My sense would be that the cost for offering ballot box anywhere would be the same as if we had no other method because we still have to have all the protocols over every other thing, and I don't think it would be. Again, this is just a guess, but the cost would be significant even if we got, you know, 10 or 100, or maybe even 1,000 votes that way. It would be the same as if the whole election was nothing but ballot box, right? Because we have to employ all those people to perform all those roles.
So if you did mail-in and electronic, right, you'd have to pay the cost for all of that.
I don't know.
Anyways, that's just my thought, so.
But I think we should just investigate, you know, some more information, in particular with television, I know it's not that, what's the name, whatever it is, but, and ask questions and see if that can satisfy some of the concerns, right? Because if you could go back, and I know what you mean by that, on a computer, then maybe, you say, whoops, I made a mistake, well, you can hit the back button or something similar to go back and fix it, and that may be possible, I don't know, so.
Councilor Peckett?
I believe there probably is a report on file that lists out the expenses of voting by mail, voting by ballot box, and televote that council would have been provided with at the time when we were making sort of the final decision to just go with electronic voting. I tried to look through the Municipal Elections Act here, and it's quite big regarding sort of any detail on selecting the different methods, and so a detailed report would be have to be required to get those details that the council may be considering. But I do think there's one on file.
So are we looking at deferral for a little more information, maybe finding that resolution or
may be outdated as well.
Sure.
Because that would have been the 2016 election.
Could be, but I think at least give some type of a comparison that would still be relevant, that you would see that would have a breakdown of staff time and all the details that you're talking about, so that you can see that it's the information would still be relevant on the costs of internet voting, telephone voting, and ballot box voting. I think it still would be relevant to give some type of cost structure associated with the different methods.
So it's Councillor Kekkonen's motion, Councillor Ryland seconded. Would you want to defer it for more information or proceed
so
with?
Just one question. So what timeline is this group purchasing? What are they looking to have feedback or resolutions from the township?
Soon, all the area municipalities are putting reports to their councils in July. I think the latest one is Seguin. I think their council meeting's the beginning of August. So I could have something back for our August 5th meeting, but they're wanting to move forward quickly and to have all the draft agreements sent to the municipalities, because IntelliVote will only take on so many clients as well, so we just want to make sure that we have a spot.
And even Prairie Sound, that they don't do the ballot anymore?
Correct. So everyone does internet voting except the previous election, Whitestone did internet and telephone and mail-in.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's interesting because Prairie Sound is a large majority permanent population. They didn't have the argument of 70% summer residents, and yet they've gone and televote too. Yeah, it's just hard to square, like you say, with the federal and provincial. I do think there'll be pressure at some point for them too, but right now, it's still, you go to a voting location, and they haven't changed. And yet the municipalities, they put that out that they can change. So, and you can still have mail-in voting at the federal and provincial, but you have to go through a procedure to do that. If you're overseas or something and you can't make it back, I think you can. So, put this one to rest for now with the deferral. Is that what you wish? For more information, or do you want to go ahead and vote on
it? Change.
I'm okay, open to deferral, just so that when we're making the decision, we're not basing it on because we did it last time. We're basing it on what it, the information that we can make a decision based on facts that yes, this is going to cost X amount of dollars each voting method, and and if there's a financial reason which is prohibitive, then I think then we can justify it just choosing whichever option gets chosen by council. I think internet voting has worked well, but if we expand any with different options, there's nothing wrong with that as well. So.
Okay, call the vote for deferral. All those in favor? Deferred it is. On to 17.2. Resolution 25-313, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Whereas the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has received report PW-2025-06 outlining the requirements and recommendations for the 2025 line painting services. And whereas the request for quotation RFQ process has been completed and evaluated, therefore be it resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives report PW-2025-06. And further, that the request for quotation RFQ be awarded to Midwestern Road Painting for the 2025 line painting services period. Further, that the township continues to work with Midwestern Road Painting contingent upon satisfactory performance in 2025 and if cost effective in the future to do so. Discussion?
Looking at page two of the submission form they really submitted, I think it would be a good idea if on this page it actually had a place where they can put their name, the name of the company, because I have no idea whose application this is here. The name and date.
Yeah, all we have is sort of an email name on the second one. On the first one, you're right.
I verified with the other information on another page, but I bet it should say right on here whose submission this is.
Is that on page two, Mike?
Well, it's page
two of two?
No, it's on page
two here.
Yeah, it says two, but I think there's two page two.
It's the next page after where you're looking.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's an unnumbered page at the bottom of the end, too. So. I'm not criticizing, by the way. I'm just, you know, was wondering the same thing myself when I looked and go, wait a minute. But.
And I'd be interested, too. I know we question this and we don't want to question the public works superintendent, but the locations. This was a concern, I guess, of which roads are going to be done and to what extent. What exactly this looks like. Like 6,100 meters, that really doesn't tell us an awful lot. And the same with 3,000 meters intermittent single yellow hills and corners. Where's the 6,100 going? Just looking at this. And I'd also, a question, I guess, I looked up some stuff on the internet about the type of paint. You can get different types depending on the surface you're putting it on. And the argument is that, well, we were told, actually, I think, that you don't put it on tar and chip. Yes, you can, and it's just that it won't last as long, probably, and it will deteriorate more quickly. But it's always that question, I guess. Does it have to be on asphalt? And if so, what type of paint are you using? Can it be on microseal? And is it going to last? I know it's Perry Sound put it on microseal immediately.
Yeah.
Now it's in a town setting, they almost needed lines. We're more rural, but. I guess that's council's call on this too, on the recommendations of the public works superintendent on where these lines should go for safety purposes. And I guess the other question is the liability, whether we're more liable without lines or with lines, and you know, what past practice has been, and whether that's satisfying all of the conditions that we need to satisfy through the line painting and signs and things like that. This is good on his part to give us this, and he's willing to recommend this company. Does council have enough information to go with to hire this company, and then also look down in the future for more years with the same company? Councilor Zula?
Just when we were talking with Tom, I got the impression it was Center Road and intermittent single yellows in Broadbent. Did you get that? On the hills?
I got the Broadbent one,
yeah.
I think. As we said, hills,
yeah.
And corners. I
yeah.
Threw Broadbent and probably other roads that have been slurry sealed, I would think.
So, but what we'd have to do if we go with this and then see the end result, whether we're happy with that or not for another year, use the same.
Mm-hmm.
If you have to do it yearly, I don't know if you do or not, but you may have to. So it's sort of a test run this time through. See if that satisfies everything.
We should have it done. That's my feeling on it. And it's too bad. It's about $1,000 a kilometer, but I really think we should have it done. For safety purposes.
Maybe we should tell them you don't have to pave the road at the same time.
And
it does seem expensive given the kilometers we're talking about, but anyway, I haven't said that.
Yeah, I think he was talking. Yeah, three lines on part of Center Road, you know,
mm-hmm.
by Ward's Farm there, you know,
mm-hmm.
so we have the sidelines too, which I'd like to see on a lot of roads, but at this price, no, I think that we'll start with this for now and see how the
Because did he not say we'll not do Hurtville Road because we're reconstructing it? So that's why I'm thinking he just meant Center Road and those spots.
We could ask maybe for a list of what roads he's doing. I'm kind of curious, not that I really need to know, but...
Well, that's like anything else, I think. As soon as it's out there to the public, which ones are being done, and then you'll have people coming, mm-hmm. Why isn't my road being done?
Well,
so it's better to leave it to the road super to make the call?
Yes, no, it's a good question which roads are going to be done. Driving here, looking at Center Road from Veterans Memorial Bridge into McKellar, I think I was looking at the road and I was thinking, I think this road needs crack sealing before it needs any painting or it needs to be redone. So are we going to paint a road that maybe requires crack sealing to maintain what's still there? Or, you know, are we going to redo that road in the near future?
Councilor Ryan?
With due respect to me asking for what roads are we're going to do, maybe it's just as important to ask which roads are we not going to do, right? I mean, and I'm not trying to build a monster out of this either, but I mean, likely the ones that would cause council some difficulty would be, why didn't you do my road, right? And I'm not talking about my own because it's not paved anyway, so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Is it better at this point to have an arm's length and let the public works superintendent make the call as opposed to getting phone calls and why wasn't my road done? And he may know the areas that need the, let's just say, hills and corners. And I think part of it is, too, that he's going on past experience, what's been done and what still exists. You can still see, I guess, faintly, but it's there, so. He's not making great changes, I don't think, to what exists.
Well, I think whatever we do is an improvement over what it is today. So.
Yeah, I'm fine going with what he has planned, and then we'll be it after it.
And
give him some input.
Confidence for him, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. To 17.3, and resolution 25-314, moved by Councilor Ryan, second by Councilor Keckinen. Be resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives a report, PLN 2025-03, and further that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby declare the lands legally described as part of McKellar Concession B, part lots 17 and 18, as identified on the map attached to the resolution, to be surplus, where a public notice was issued on May 16, 2025, and a public meeting was held on June 3, 2025, in accordance with the Township's Sale of Real Property Bylaw. And further, the Council directs the Clerk to proceed with the creation of 5 new non-waterfront lots in accordance with the authority granted under the Planning Act, and to rezone the proposed lots to rural residential. And further, the Council directs the Clerk to rezone the Township-owned lands, inclusive of the inactive aggregate pit, described as part of McKellar Concession B, part lot 17 and 18, as shown on the attached map to rural. Discussion? Councilor Keckinen?
When you look at page 3 of 3, it has the entire area, that south sort of chunk of land that's crossed out in the green, to be rezoned to rural. Isn't part of that rural already, only there's a very small chunk here that's M3 or M2, is there?
Yeah, you are correct. Any lands within that green space that is not currently zoned rural would be rezoned to rural.
Wondering then if because it does sort of talk about the reason why the there wants to rezone it, the pit property, what is it zoned as, the M2, as rural, because it's then you don't have to have any impact statements regarding the creation of these new lots, five new lots. But if it's a very small section that is currently zoned M2, is it actually still within that distance that's required to have an impact statement?
Yeah, that's a good question, because I'm not sure the extent of the boundaries for the M2 industrial, how far it actually does extend, whether it's beyond the distance of the, what is it, 300 meters, something to that effect. I think what I hear you saying is that that's a pretty general map. It should be more specific than where the M2 zone extends to, which
yes,
makes sense.
You know, because then you can determine, does it actually need to be rezoned then? I think it would give the people in there a bit of a bit of peace of mind knowing that there's no longer an M2 zoning within that area, but depending on what the township's future use of that property is, that does that change what we're able to do there?
The township could rezone some of those lands to commercial at some point if desired, whether that be for municipal purposes or for selling purposes.
Yeah, I think the key is to take it in steps and because of the concerns that were raised at our meeting, the public meeting, that no longer be an active pit and such, no extraction. And so if you go with the rural as the first step, as opposed to try to going to commercial initially, then that may satisfy the people in there. And you already checked with landscape, I think, and requirements, so we're legally able to do this.
Yes, and then once council gives myself direction, landscape will provide council with a full embodied planning report about this as well.
Councillor Hassan?
Yeah, I would be in favor of what's laid out here. I think it's a good step in the right direction to generate some revenue. I'd like to see a step two, possibly at some point, and I was thinking, yeah, I think the commercial along the highway would be something we could get some revenue on, and then some more residential lots. But if we can relieve that for another step, I think this is a step in the right direction.
So I'm just wondering, once again, should that the M2 zone property be rezoned to rural use, because no person shall within the industrial pit M2 zone use any lot, erect any, or alter any building or structure for any purpose except for one of the following uses, and one of them is storage of sand, gravel, or rock. Aren't we storing sand and gravel or some materials on that pit property currently?
Perhaps currently, we'll have to check that, but wouldn't be able to in the future then if that's changed.
And isn't that, you know, if the township uses that, you know, continues to own that piece of property, wouldn't we want to have that as one of the options available for being able to store materials?
Well, I think that we discussed that before, and Councillor Zulai brought it up in the past. Unless we're buying more material, then I don't think we are. It was all stored on the Public Works site and Bell's Hill. That's all we needed. So the question was, why do we need more property to store? Plus, we were also told by the Public Works Superintendent that that's a good place to actually unload the material where it is right now in the Public Works garage. And so I think if we have the space there available for our winter sand and for our gravel, whatever else we may need, then I think we could forego even looking at the pit as a possible storage area. We can develop Bell's Hill, maybe down the line as well. That's another possibility, but that's probably for a future council. But yes.
But I thought that we heard some discussion that if current Public Works yard was going to have extra bays, then there would be a requirement possibly for the Fire 152 property to be able to store some materials.
I don't think, where the bays are going, there's no material stored there right now. They're actually buildings. So I don't think it would affect the where they're putting the storage right now, the material that comes in. Those buildings that are behind the small ones would have to be moved, but that's where the extension would go. So there's no storage right in that location. As long as they have a path in behind between the dome and the building for the gravel in there, and then the winter sand can go where it's always gone. So they shouldn't need any more, even with a couple of extra bays, I wouldn't think. I think we wanted to tell them, I think we did tell them last time, that this council was not looking at that area that was purchased down on 152 to be the new Public Works garage, and that the first step to that would be to start storing material down there. And I don't think the people necessarily who live in that subdivision would want that either, with the large trucks coming and going and the danger there of that corner. It's a bad enough corner as it is, to start using it for a storage area, I guess, of large trucks and different equipment going in and out.
Well, I think that it currently is being used, and there was extraction material from that pit with trucks going in and out the last couple of years, so.
Right, but as I say, that would have to change. That was used because it was convenient, and there was still material available, I think, to use some in the ball field. But if we go ahead with this route, then that's gone as far as that use. So if council wants to keep that as a possible use, then we have to rethink the whole process. It's up to council to make the call on.
What are the other locations, or where are the other locations that we store? I mean, I don't know the one.
No, Bell's Hill is the other,
yeah.
The main one.
Okay, and that's it?
Yeah.
Okay. Kind of out of the way if you're at this end of the township, though.
Well, that's the thing. See, it's a good location if you're at the other end of the township, because that's was one of this part of the Tatum study that was done,
yeah.
And looking at a substation out there. Some sort, and that hasn't been ruled out yet. I mean, we haven't really discussed it any length.
Mm-hmm.
All we've discussed really is the addition to the garage that exists now, the two bays, or maybe three, as somebody had talked about, the two that were designed, I guess. So. Did we make a change?
Is
that
something change?
I don't know. It just says to rezone. It's shown in the attached map to rural. And Councillor Keckman's point was that some of it is rural already. So maybe
as required
or something. That would cover it. That the rural part wouldn't have to be rezoned, but the M2 would. Any further discussion of this proposal? Call the question. All those in favor? One opposed? Carried. On to 17.5. We've already dealt with 0.4. Resolution 25-315, moved by Councillor Zulak, seconded by Councillor Haslam. Be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby receive report PLN 2025-04, Edwards Road Allowance Closure from Carly Britton, Clerk Administrator, for information purposes. Discussion? It's good to see that this is getting on track now. I guess it was sitting there because maybe certain steps weren't followed. And you've already been in touch with the applicant, and he's still interested in doing this.
That's correct.
And he knows the procedure now, and he's willing to follow that procedure.
Yes, and he's aware that all legal costs, including if any easements are required, are at his expense.
Okay, and council's still in agreement with proceeding with this particular request? We did hear information from the Public Works Superintendent, I think, to confirm what was said here, that we didn't really need that piece of property as such, but it would be helpful to him. So. 3-1-6, moved by Councilor Pecan and seconded by Councilor Ryan. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby receives the accounts payable preliminary check run report for June 2025 from Treasurer Roshan Kentia for information purposes. Discussion? Councilor Ryan?
On top of, I think page one, I can't really see the page numbers properly, the information for a hydrant, the very first item that appears in the report under fire protection, is that a dry hydrant?
Correct.
Yeah, okay, that's what I assumed. But. And can I ask another question on the page three? This time I can see the page number. At the bottom of that page, there's an expense, not much, $93.11 for telecommunications services for ExploreNet. Do you know the location of that?
Public Works Garage.
Okay. Okay.
I had a question on page four. I probably can't have an answer to it, but just to remind what we talked about quite a while ago, under 2568, Canadian cutting and coring, cut curb for the removal for the ball field. We talked about when that was going to be done, that this block that had been taken out by the plow or whatever was going to be reinserted, or a new one was going to be done. I see they've done some laying of concrete there and everything, so that would have been the ideal time. Is there any reason why this one wasn't done, or is it going to be done? Because, I mean, again, we've had complaints, and for the longest time, there was a pylon set out there where people had to go way out around, and it's not being repaired. I thought maybe whoever did the work down at the entrance could go up and do that as well. Was it MTO? Was it staff? If it was staff doing it, then I can see why they didn't fix the sidewalk. It's not ours. But if it was other people doing it, like Fowler's or through MTO, do you know who did the cutting of the sidewalk and who repaired that?
The cutting of the sidewalk for the entrance of the ball field.
Right.
The township hired Canadian Cutting and Coring to do that. The township does not own or maintain the sidewalk, so once the sidewalk is poured for the entrance, Fowler will work with us to correct and fix the sidewalk closest to the original community center entrance. We're just working together because the amount of concrete wouldn't take a full truck, obviously, so we're just working together on that.
Excellent. So still on the radar.
Yes.
That's good.
Very much so.
Councilor Ryan?
Bottom of page six, under environmental services, I have two questions. The item that's here says scrap metal revenue, scrap purchase. It's a negative amount, at least I assume it's a negative amount of $1,478.07. If this is a check run report, how can we have a negative amount? In other words, are we receiving the money?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why does we don't show other revenues on these reports? Not that I know of, anyway. And again, I'm not criticizing, I'm simply asking a question. I don't understand why this makes it and other things don't.
So it comes as a credit on our account and not as a physical check.
Okay.
So that's perhaps why it's shown.
Do we receive a check for this?
No.
It's taken out of the amount for the waste hauling.
It reduces our bill otherwise.
Correct.
Okay, I get you. And can I ask another question related to this? I'm aware of some really serious misdoings, not by this township, but by other people involving scrap metal and pocketing the money. Do we have a defined process for how this happens and who takes it and how do we know that we're receiving the right amount?
Can I say at least they take it right?
Yeah.
The township receives scale tickets to ensure that what is taken to the scale also is credited to our account.
Okay, that part's good, but I mean, how do I know that we're getting the value, the real value of the scrap metal as opposed to some adjusted value and somebody pocketing the difference?
We work with a local company that we trust.
It's an agreement. I believe it's an agreement that's already been signed with the hauler. And there was that question, too, were we getting anything for the waste, for the scrap metal? And the argument was that, and I think that was revisited with this particular company, and I think we are now receiving more than we used to receive for it.
Okay.
And what they do with it from there on, I mean, they're the ones who said
no, I'm not concerned. $3,000 worth of material there and getting $1,400. Do you follow me?
Well, they can give us whatever they want to give us in this agreement. We can't say this is what we want back. They're saying this is what it's worth.
Okay, but here, if I want, I can get into great specifics on this because I did earlier, nothing to do with the township, but I mean, I'm aware of a major fraud involved in the local community, not in McKellar, in West Parris Sound, where that was the gist of what happened was that I picked up, you know, let's say 1,000 pounds. I go there and they say they got 500 pounds, and the person who's delivering it pockets the difference.
Well,
to the tune of thousands of dollars.
You would have to take that up with the person delivering. Whatever's going on with that.
We don't pay it when they leave, do we?
No. Well, it's an agreement that we've got that they pretty well give us what they want to give us for it. And we have a way of getting rid of it without charging the people. It's a free service to the people. So I don't know what you're speaking of specifically, but I think that would have to be taken up with the company and the individual who may be doing that. But
it's wide open for abuse.
Well, it could be.
Okay.
But what's our alternative with agreement with this company?
It would be the way that I guess when it leaves, but and I don't think we have the means to do that. But I'm just saying, right? This is a financial risk, right? But
out to the historical committee because I think there's a reference here to a monthly toilet rental for $190. What did you receive a situation $300 something for one day? I don't understand. Twice in here through this company, they've indicated $190 for a week or a month. Sorry, I don't know what's going on with St. Stephen's and the rental there, but could I suggest that go through the township to get that done and not through historical committee, that somehow they should be told that it's the same company, that this is a township function. So I don't understand why the difference is, was it $300?
Well, I have this highlighted as well, and Carly can give the details.
Okay.
Yes, I can contact Weeks to see if they would honor our monthly toilet rental for rentals exclusively at St. Stephen's Church for a month. It doesn't make sense to have the toilet rental just for one day because the costs in these toilets are the delivery and the pickup. So it would be financially make more sense to have it there for a month opposed to a day. But I'll contact them and remind them of this price and what we're looking for.
That's what I was considering. It was like, well, oh my gosh, it's going to cost $360 for one day and no one even uses the porta potty. You know, that's an absolute waste of money. And then looking at, you know, $190 is, well, you'd rather lose $190 than $360 some. So
$190 might also just be, like, because they've been delivered for a season, it could just be the cleaning fee. There may be an additional fee once they're picked up. So it's just something we have to investigate further.
And at the bottom of page 11. Community center talks about bleach for the water. And I guess my question is that, I always call it potable, but I guess it's from the Latin potable. Do we have potable water in the community center? Well, people drink it, so.
Yes, it's tested frequently.
Then why do we see on the internet, I guess the question by somebody who should know, saying that the township does not have potable water either at the community center or at the garage. I was shocked to see that with no proof, and I thought we did have potable water. So I don't know whether that should be clarified. You don't clarify by going, I mean, on Facebook, you can't win by going on there, but I'm just thinking we should be. It hasn't gone any further. The good thing about Facebook is that it disappears as quickly as it arrives, unless it's an issue that keeps coming back again and again. Anybody using the community center, I don't think, has raised any concerns. So I always thought it was potable.
I think maybe there's a, like, just a mix-up, as in when they're saying there's no potable water
to take the water
home. So the only, like, they're saying, like, to fill up their jug, I mean, they could do it if they wanted to, but then we'd have everyone coming to the kitchen to do it. Whereas Whitestone has their outside tap. I think that's what they are meaning. Not
yeah.
that our water isn't potable.
Yeah, it should have been clarified, I think, because the way it was put out there is just that people would think, like, I think as what the person should have said, yes, we don't have water available, you know, for usage to take away, but to say that the community center and the garage have no potable water, that was leaving it wide open for any users, especially.
Did you hear about that? No, I didn't see that.
And the difficult part of it is it's an employee, so someone who should know. And I just think we need further education so that that's clarified, that that's not being put out to the public when it isn't true. But it might have just been a misinterpretation, as you say, of
I think
what we're making available.
Yeah. Because we get that call all the time, is whether or not we have water to fill their jugs. And we always direct them to Whitestone. We used to direct them to town, but there's not very many places in town that do that anymore either.
No. Page 15, and this is your conference, Mary. I don't know whether you're on a diet or not, but the meal seemed awfully low. Now, maybe you got food other places, but I'm just thinking it seems to be something out of whack there. I mean, you're away for, what, 2-3 day conference?
The meals were included in the conference.
Oh, they were okay.
Yeah, and except for the one night, and that was the only night I had to eat dinner.
Okay.
But the breakfasts and lunch were all included.
Excellent. Part of the registration.
Yes.
Yeah. Good.
Either that or you're a cheap date. You know?
Further discussion of the figures? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 19.1, resolution 25-317, moved by Councilor Pegnan, second by Councilor Ryan. The result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby approved.
Yeah, I'll leave the room.
Does hereby receive the letter dated June the 11th, 2025, from Dunamic Snow Riders regarding the expiring Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, for information purposes. Further, the Council authorizes the Township to enter a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, in the form of a prescribed snowmobile trail land use permit with the Dunamic Snow Rider Snowmobile Club as requested for a term of 5 years. This agreement will allow for the continued authorized use of designated township-owned lands and road allowances as part of the provincially recognized snowmobile trail system, supporting recreational tourism, regional connectivity, and safe managed trail access for snowmobile users. And further, the staff are directed to formally inform Mr. Bill McNeese, president of the Dunamic Snow Rider Snowmobile Club, Council's decision to enter their Memorandum of Understanding, the MOU, for the prescribed snowmobile trail land use permit, and to provide any supporting documentation or next steps required to finalize the agreement. Discussion? Councilor Ryan?
At the top of the page, well, not the very top of the page, which does say the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, go down to the first text block on the right, and it still just says Council of the Township of McKellar. It is fixed at the very top of the page, and it is fixed at the bottom of the page, but it's not in that one block of text. And I know we discussed this with them, and I know it's just that they missed one, but...
Well, I don't think that's actually corporation there, though. That is just township, county, district, regional, municipality, so it's just location, as opposed to...
Okay, yeah, I can accept that.
Number.
Sure. Okay.
And I like to see that they put 13 in, so that... Township property is for the public regardless, and he seemed to assure us that there wouldn't be anybody, a limited number of people who would be doing the checking, and they wouldn't refuse anybody.
wrong then. I got my thing.
Well, I'm a bit more shy. She knew this time. She's
still really smell the smoke out there.
On to 19.2, resolution 25-318, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Kekkonen. Whereas the McKellar Agricultural Society is organizing the McKellar Fall Fair Youth Parade and has requested permission to use the Township of McKellar logo on promotional materials, including the event poster. And whereas the use of the Township logo is subject to council approval to ensure appropriate representation and alignment with the municipal branding guidelines. Now therefore be a result that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby grants permission to the McKellar Agricultural Society to use the Township of McKellar logo on the McKellar Fall Fair Youth Parade poster, subject to the logo being used respectfully and appropriately consistent with the Township's branding standards. Discussion? And I just hope they can get a road passed here so that that's where the parade could start and come up around, but we'll see. I still think it's just they're going to use the park that they've got here. There's no guarantee, but we'll keep working on it and see where the fence goes. Councilor Kekkonen?
Just looking at some nice poster here. Unfortunately, they spent this spelled Township of McKellar wrong.
Well, hopefully that will be correct.
And that's something that Vivian Moore would have, she's on the agricultural committee, and that's something that she probably would have noticed because that hurts her own spelled wrong.
I see they're having the parade start at noon. That's usually we do announcements.
Right, usually right.
So
noon,
that'll have to be changed. Guess they'll schedule that in somehow or another somewhere. Any announcements, like volunteer of the year kind of thing?
Yeah, I hope so. Well, I'm sure they'll be in contact with the township with a more detailed agenda at some point when things are happening. Still months away, right?
Everything's just around the corner.
Oh, I know.
So fast. Well, you know, it'll be snowing again.
Any further discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. On to 20.1, we have resolution 25-319, moved by Councillor Haskin, second by Councillor Zulak. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby awards tender number 2025-13, Springville Road Reconstruction Phase 1, to Weeks Construction in the amount of $1,244,611.79, plus HST of $161,799.53. For a total bid price of $1,406,411.32. Discussion? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Resolution, this is for 20.2, resolution 25-320, moved by Councillor Kekkonen, second by Councillor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby award tender number 2025-14, the paving 4 kilometers of Herdville Road, Phase 1, to Fowler Construction in the amount of $697,914, plus HST of $90,728.82 for a total bid amount of $788,642.82. Discussion?
I'd like to hear your name.
Yeah, he likes to come to that. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. On to 21.2. Resolution 25-321, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Haskin. Be a result of the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar. Hereby give bylaw number 2025-38 into bylaw to adopt a human resources policy and procedure in first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open council the 15th day of July 2025. Discussion? I hesitate to use the word discussion, but. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. That's resolution 25-322, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-39, being a bylaw to amend bylaw 2024-08, being a bylaw to adopt an accessibility plan amended. The first and second reading, and further read a third time and passed an open council this 15th day of July 2025. Discussion? So everyone's compliant now? I'm talking council here.
Yeah.
Okay. But you know, you've got the email, right? Everybody's working on it.
I'll send it to you, Brian.
Yeah. You'll send me an email? It's just, okay, that might complicate it. Yeah.
Okay, call the question. All those in favor? Not opposed? Carried. Business. Anything on that chart? To see removed or something added to? Councilor Peckman?
So, regarding funding, so quotations for playground equipment, staff continue searching for grant funding. Well, it was interesting that we were always told that there was never any funding available for fire halls, fire hall construction. And last week it was announced that Carling Township received $1.8 million to from the NOHC to fund their new fire station. So I think we need to be on our toes to be alert and aware to different funding that might be available that we were not aware of previously, so that our taxpayers paid approximately $1 million for station one. So that's $1 million if we would receive funding that we could be utilizing for other projects. So I just think we need to be aware of any funding available for projects we're working on currently or in the future, because we need all the financial help that we can receive from basically be the provincial government. Doesn't seem like the federal government's giving out any funding.
Yeah, it's something with fire department. We knew that over the years, they always said there's no money for fire. And then to see this come up through the NOHFC, and I know we had money too received at NOHFC for St. Stephen's and the ball field, but you're right, I mean, applications should be submitted. Maybe that's the organization you have to go to now. Their funds usually aren't as high as some other ministries, but at least they seem to be divvying it up around the area. And there is an opportunity now, as you say, for fire, and we've got other things that may qualify. Talked about the garage before, and there are certain things that the projects that we could apply for. I think staff is looking certainly at those in Roshan, and I don't think they're passing anything out. It's just a question of maybe they are submitting. We don't receive all the submissions either, but you're right. I mean, I think if we could even be notified, that'd be great. What applications would put in for what grants, and maybe all they need from council is some suggested proposals. Projects that want to see go ahead.
Another thing
think that we need to have the staff that are maintaining the cemeteries actually make note of how many tombstones are actually fallen over or actually in the process of falling over. It's cheaper to have them leveled than to have them repaired after they fall and possibly break. So I know at St. Stephen's there's at least one large one that's toppled over, and there looks like there's several, probably a dozen more that are in the process of toppling over. So I believe in the past we had Sanderson Monument, that they were the company that did any of the leveling of the tombstones. So I think that we certainly need to, I just know about St. Stephen's, but if there's other cemeteries, I think that that's a proactive way of being maintaining our cemeteries.
I think Mary can answer.
Yeah. I've been in contact with Sanderson, and Tom is going to go out and inspect all the cemeteries and take photos of the monuments that need repaired. And then we're going to send that back to Sanderson to get an estimate on how much it will cost to repair them.
Good. Thank you.
Councilor Zulak?
So are we still going to do a visit, site visit? We talked about that before, a site visit to all the cemeteries and see, since we are the cemetery board.
I think in that particular case, I'm just thinking maybe individually, I'm not sure how easy it is to organize everybody that wants to get there. We talked about a road trip in the spring for our roads as well,
yeah.
And facilities. It's just hard to coordinate. I would think I have a few issues, but I've visited cemeteries on my own, and I can bring those issues forward and put them on a piece of paper, sort of thing. Maybe that's the way to approach it, each individual committee, and we'll see that we're duplicating, but that's great. As opposed to trying to get everybody out there at once.
Yeah, like if we had a cemetery board meeting, and then with the information that Tom gathers and that,
right.
And your information that we could, you know, so everybody's on the same page, we know what's going on.
And I think we
and
do
if
that
they have a plan, if Tom has some kind of a plan.
Yeah,
then
I think through
great.
The committee of the whole would be the, like we did before.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we could all go there on Halloween. I'm sorry, I shouldn't
have said that.
So I'm just wondering when the we were discussing scheduling the municipal bridges for the insurance coverage. Just wondering when that's coming back to the table.
Likely August 5th. I just haven't received any feedback yet from the insurance provider.
And on unfinished business, Mike touched on it, but grant opportunities. Perry Sound did receive grants for their playgrounds. I was just wondering who they received those grants from, whether there's any possibility going forward.
I can't remember who it was.
It was NOHSC. And Powassan received a massive amount of funding as well for their playground equipment.
Right.
Councilor Zula.
So, on our unfinished business, we can take off of here the transfer site agreement with Nipissing Parish Sound?
Yes.
And adopt a human resources policy will come off,
okay.
Right?
And transfer station cards,
yeah.
Is there in the tax bills now.
Okay. And then did we say about Hart Road, we were just going to name it?
Yeah,
Hart
that
Road?
One will come off.
Come
as
off?
Well.
Okay. So I'm just wondering about St. Stephen's Church, the painting, the roof painting. Has anything happened on that?
I did contact the insurance company, and the township's insurance would not cover the individual, so the individual has to have his own private insurance, and I need to reach out to him about that.
Oh, so we haven't talked to him yet about
it? I have not, no.
Which may be of concern when that individual painted the fire station number 2.
That's why I'm thinking if that is his secondary sort of job, he must have some kind of insurance for doing that type of thing. And also being a firefighter, maybe that includes heights and things like that. So it would be, and since time is of the essence, really, we need to get that done.
There is another option. The second contractor that we've received a quote from last year, and Morley had
So the only thing is
I
that
said I don't know.
Yeah, so the reason why, so the second individual that said that they, you know, that they painted roofs was that they were gonna spend basically 4 to 5 days making sure that all the fasteners that need to be replaced are replaced. And I think that's pretty critical for insuring, because I think, you know, we looked at that west side,
mm-hmm.
and just about all of them are loose on the windward side. So there's no use painting a roof if the fasteners haven't been, you know, replaced that need to be replaced. So, you know, if there's a reinsurance from the other contractor, that they would spend the same amount of time for the price that they quoted to ensure that the fasteners, well, then there is another option. So
I think I seem to recall that there was a concern about the other individual too, with workers' comp and that sort of thing that came up at the time as being a requirement. You're not sure as an individual whether he would have that.
No, I never asked them.
Oh, okay. New business? Public notices, announcements, inquiries, reports by council members.
I guess I could go first. Rec committee, we had a couple, I would say, some successful events. Community barbecue at Broadbent, we sold out all the food. We had enough, we just served 120 people. It ran out within the first half hour, so I don't know how many people were there. So that was a big success. And the fireworks, I believe, anything I heard, was a very big success. I would imagine an excess of a couple hundred people, and the rec committee and Broadbent Snowbugs received many donations. So it, I believe that was a tremendous success. And then, of course, our committee were involved in the Rib Fest. I believe that was a success also. And and speaking of with the fireworks we had this year, thinking again to next year, thinking it was such a big success, we'll probably try to do it again. And nothing would be better than to actually have maybe a grand opening of a playground at that time.
Okay.
So it's another one of these things where if we wait until budget time next year, past budget in May, okay, let's see if we can try getting this done. It's not going to happen. So I'm just wondering if council would have any desire to start considering giving a direction to staff to possibly get the wheels turning kind of thing. One being, and maybe the grounds preparation. So just a food for thought, if you think that we would, and that's why I was asking Tom, you know, what he had planned for employees. And it wouldn't take much time for them to go in and prep. If the supplier of the playground equipment said, yeah, okay, go ahead and do that area of sand, fill, and everything that we can install in that, we could go as a group even and lay out exactly where it's going to go and what else. There's a lot of root formations sticking up, so if we had some, the road crew do some topsoil over some areas now, we could turn it into a really nice facility. So I just thought I'd bring that up also. Alpha, we had the kids' fish and fun day. Had about 20 kids. Again, that was a success. And I should mention that the kids beat the firefighters in the tug of war at that event, so thanks for the firefighters to come out to that event. And they also came to the fireworks event, and they were wonderful to have there. The kids really enjoyed them. So some updates on recreation activities.
Were you doing the announcing for the fish derby down at I thought that was you. I could hear you up the house there. You must have had a loudspeaker.
Oh yeah,
and it sounded like the same voice that did the fireworks.
So we have to notify neighbors next year.
Yeah.
Well, I had a normal volume, but what was? Oh, it was so windy that day.
Yeah, it was.
That I started the announcements to say, tell the kids get ready for the races and everything. Turn it up, turn it up. Okay, then. So we did. So.
Well, that way it worked. Yeah.
So we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Councilor Rod.
Having attended those events that Morley's just mentioned, the barbecue and the fireworks, I mean, both of them were absolutely first rate. And in my opinion, having been to many much larger towns' fireworks displays, ours was superior to all of those. I had was in luck. I had all five of my grandkids kids there, and they thought the same too, right? And the barbecue, in my observation, and I'm not sure that I got all these figures right, but I know that hundreds of dollars were donated towards the barbecue portion of the expenses, as well as to, even more towards the fireworks. It occurs to me, and I think I mentioned this to Carly, perhaps, I don't remember for sure, if we're able to raise funds like that at an event like that, maybe we could raise funds for playground equipment as well. And notwithstanding that we would want to go to other sources and try and see if we can get a grant, but I mean, if we can get local people wanting to contribute because it worked at that event, I mean, I think that would be very worthwhile. But both of the events were, quite frankly, fantastic. I can't give you anything official in terms of RibFest. I know there's some meetings going on and some meetings coming up, but we had about 300 people at this year's event, which is less than the previous year. We had 400, but then again, the weather was rather atrocious. And frankly, some of the times we were going to, maybe nobody's going to show up. And we moved it indoor to the rink, and the one observation from that is that the rink is actually a very viable spot for that, even on a nice day, because it's cooler in. When I walked in while the sun was out that day, it was probably 10 degrees cooler inside the rink than it was outside on the pavement, which is quite a remarkable thing. And it's 120 by 52 because I measured it. And when we could put absolutely everything we had, including some exhibitors or vendors, I mean, the bar and many other things in there, that fit in really well. So I think that's a viable alternative, not just for RibFest, but for other events too, because it's a good facility. It's close by to parking. It offers all those things. I mean, and with various committee members, the talk was, maybe that's a better location than outside, right? And we had the band in there too. So it was a bit of a shock, because you kind of think of it as being, stepping down. We needed it because there's no way you could do it outside. But it strikes me that that's a viable option for other community events, right? And
yeah.
It's not bad at all. You couldn't do it in the winter, of course, but in the summer, even on a hot day, it's cooler in there than it is outside. So that was quite a shock to me when I walked in there, and I did multiple times with different things and kept going, every time I come in here, it's cooler in here than there. So. And people loved it. People stayed right to the bitter end. We finally had to almost kick the band out because they wanted to keep going. Otherwise, everyone was going to hang out, and then we couldn't get. We had 16 picnic tables and a whole bunch of other tables and items in there. And obviously, because pickleball was the next day, we had to get it all out of there in a torrential downpour. The only time I've ever seen this before, the water sheeting off the roof at, I'll say, 8:30, 9 o'clock. Was solid sheet, like you could not see through it. It's coming down just like pouring it out of a bucket, right, the whole way. So we were carrying picnic tables out. I had a raincoat, but it was hopeless, right? And then I just finally took it off. What's your wet? You're wet. Can't get any wetter. So that was illuminating too. I've rarely seen rain come off a roof that fast, that hard. But, and it was also incredibly loud when it was raining that hard. You really couldn't hear inside because, well, and I got hearing problems anyway, but it was quite remarkable. But anyhow, so sometime with the committee over the next, I'll say month anyhow, we'll have some financial figures and things, and there's an expectation that we made a profit, and the plan was to donate any profits to, amongst other things, the Agricultural Society, because it's their 150th, I know that, as well as some other local, I won't call them charities, I'll just call them local organizations anyhow. And like I said, the people working on that, hopefully we'll have that by kind of this point in August anyhow. So.
And speaking of Agricultural Society, they've used it the last few years in there too, so as
yeah.
part of the,
yeah.
and they hadn't years back, I guess, so that's something that I think is getting more use.
Right.
Yeah.
Legends, which was running the bar at RibFest inside the rink, repeatedly suggested to me, because I kind of helped them drag their stuff in and everything else, and suggested, you know, you could make money out of having this as a venue for concerts, right? Now, we'd still have the noise violation thing and everything else, but honestly, and they were quite adamant about this. This is a great spot to have bands come in and play. What we would need is seating. One of the things that we really lack is, well, 16 picnic tables, which is 5 more than we had last year, but that wasn't nearly enough for the number of people we had. We had 2 seatings. But chairs and things too. We encouraged people to bring chairs, which virtually nobody did. That's no surprise. And certainly we weren't going to try and take the upholstered chairs out of the community center, especially in the rain. That was just
good
horrendous.
Call. Yes.
But I mean, if there was, we couldn't additional seating, but no way we could get those in the rink either. So I don't know. We'd have to kind of think that through of what, how would we do that if we were to have something like a concert, you know, with you know, people sitting down. I mean, I guess they could stand up, but I'm not sure that would work. Not for me, it wouldn't. So anyway, enough said.
And then the acoustics were good too compared to like
yeah.
Bobby Orr Center. I mean,
yeah.
you can't hear anything in there.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
over here, the band was quite good. So.
Yeah. Anyway, the band I thought was really great. The singer in the band, whose name I've forgotten, was just outstanding, and they actually do this all over the place. I think they're playing at Bands on the Bay tomorrow, maybe, whatever the next Bands on the Bay is in Perry Sound, anyhow. And they were really outstanding. So.
Okay, other announcements? Councilor Kerry?
Just regarding the fireworks, like that was pretty incredible. Like, how many thousands of dollars worth of fireworks would that be? Because it was just nonstop, just.
I think there was approximate purchased value of around $2,500, but the one fellow negotiated some good pricing. The regular price for the fireworks off the shelf would have been around $3,700.
Wow. They were great. They were just fantastic.
Yeah.
My grandkids talked about them the next morning.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be out in a boat out on the bay for the ones in Perry Sound, and yeah, I did. I was probably less satisfied with them than the ones in Broadbent.
And I didn't have low expectations, but they blew them away. And honestly, maybe the best fireworks I've attended, and especially in this isn't even a small town, this is a very small township.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, there's some good videos
yeah.
of it too.
Yeah, so.
You see, kind of thing. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, on to consent agenda. Resolution 25-323, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Zulak. It resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. And you wish to pull from that to discuss? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Any questions, comments from people in the audience, either in person or on Zoom, related to items on the agenda? Hearing none, I have resolution 25-324, moved by Councilor Keckman, second by Councilor Ryland. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2025-40, being a bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of First and Second Reading, further read a third time and pass an open.